Good morning. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the BPER Full Year 2018 Consolidated Results and Strategic Transaction conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Alessandro Vandelli, CEO of BPER. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining this conference call today. This is Alessandro Vandelli, CEO, and I'm here as usual with Roberto Ferrari, CFO, Alessandro Simonazzi, Head of Planning and Control, and Gilberto Borghi, Investor Relations Manager. Today, we have also Matteo Bigarelli, Head of Equity Investments and Special Projects. This morning, I guess the call is going to be a little bit longer than usual because, as you saw early this morning, we announced not only the expected full year 2018 results, but also two important extraordinary deals regarding Parco di Sardegna minorities buyout and the transaction with Unipol Group. I'd like to go through the full year 2018 results first and then give you some details about the two transactions, leaving enough time for the Q&A section at the end. We prepared two different presentations that you can find on our website. Let's start with the 2018 results. As introduction to this conference call, I'd like to highlight three key points, try to keep my comments as shorter as I can. Please go to the executive summary of the presentation on page five, available on the website. First point, profitability. We realized in 2018 a net profit of 402 million euro. This is the highest result in the history of the group. We are proud to such a significant profit, especially in this challenging environment, meaning the group has been working in the right direction. What are the main factors? Substantially three. Positive trend, number one, commission, +4.8% year-on-year. Number two, trading. Number three, cost of trading, a significant reduction to 47 basis points 2018 from 112 in 2017. Positive trending in the main P&L items allows the absorbing of significant non-recurring charges relating, among others, to bad loans disposal and impairment on goodwill and tangible assets. Conversely, positive income taxes impact was recorded during the year, largely due to the effect of deferred tax assets recognition. We have demonstrated a high level of ability in generating profits and then through this building capital. The second message is our capital resiliency. We have shown to be able to manage capital in a very effective way, even during a period of financial turmoil. Our CET1 ratio fully phased at the end of 2018 was broadly stable, close to 12%, confirming resiliency. The CET1 phase-in came at 14.3% and well above the SREP level, 9% for 2019. As you know, this morning, we released the SREP 2019 results, which are positive even considering the economic environment. How did we manage to be so resilient? We are probably familiar with the story, but in brief, first, retain earnings through higher profitability. Second, RWA efficiency. Third, wise managing of the financial portfolio. In these days, being able to increase capital solidity and moreover, of this magnitude means that we are doing a good job. Third, asset quality. I'd like to underline that we keep focusing on the NPE strategy targets, and we deliver what we promised. The notable drop of the NPE stock, -3.5 billion euro just in 1 year, -33.1%, led to a gross NPE ratio of 13.8%, down by 6.1 percentage points from 19.9% at the beginning of 2018. I'd like to remind you that in mid-2016, we were at 23.5. So in about 2 years and a half, we were able to shrink the NPE ratio by about 10 percentage points, so a big improvement. We completed the two bad loan securitizations, Quattro Mori Sardegna and Acqui, for a total amount of about 3 billion euros. The asset quality now looks much better, and I consider this to be a great achievement of this group. It is also a very good starting point to do even better in the coming years. Now, let's go quickly into the analysis of the 2018 results, leaving enough time for the Q&A session at the end of the presentation. On page 7, we can appreciate the growth of the total funding at 91.3 billion euro in 2018, plus 0.5 billion. We record a substantial stable direct funding at 50 billion euro and a growth in indirect bank assurance buckets, 0.7 billion euro. We continue to increase asset under management and bank assurance sector, which now counts for 45% of the total. On page 8, we show a breakdown of our direct funding, which comes at 50 billion euro in December 2018, broadly stable since 4th January 2018. Direct funding is mostly based on customer deposits, which weigh for 90%. Customer funding comes at 45 billion euro, substantially unchanged since January 2018, showing a strong increase in current accounts and sight deposits, broadly offset by a decrease in retail bonds and CDs. We are still working to decrease certain forms of institutional funding which are particularly expensive, and at the same time, we are focusing on switching direct funding in favor of indirect one. Retail outstanding bonds are declining, and at the end of the year, they are below 1.5 billion euro, down by 38% since January 2018. Finally, I'd like to highlight the wide level of flexibility in managing our group's funding strategy, as we do not have any wholesale bond maturities in 2019 and only 0.4 billion euro on retail. I think that in this challenging environment is particularly positive. Page 9, this is one of the sectors we care most about and where we are doing an excellent job. Stock of indirect deposit and bank assurance grew by 1.7% since January 2018. Bank assurance segment reached the level of 5 billion euro and showed the growth by 6.4% year to date. This is one of the sectors we are investing a lot. We think we have great opportunity to develop further. Asset under management stock are 19.3 billion euro, affected by the negative market effect due to the financial market volatility. We are confident that we continue to grow also here going forward. Despite market stress, in the second part of the year, net asset under management inflows exceeded 1 billion euro, that we can consider a solid performance given the difficult market conditions. Moving on to page 10, you see the trend of customer loans. We note an increase of 0.6 billion euro +1.3% since January 2018 of net loans, including also gross stock trend, was largely affected by two securitization of bad loans, Quattromobili Sardegna in June and Acqui in November, for a total amount of nearly 3 billion euro. Net mortgages showed an increase of 1.5% year to date, showing the ability to be supportive on commercial business despite the worsening economic conditions. We can see that the risky trend is continuing. Overall, we recorded positive signals coming from credit demand, especially in the last part of 2018, even though it's too early to say if it will be sustainable in the coming quarters, given the projection of weak economic growth for 2019. In the fourth Q 2018, we still see the decline of the NPE stock, about which we are going to be into details later. The quality of the performing book is still improving, as shown by the ratings in the top right box. The high-risk bucket is declining quite significantly, reaching 3.8%, more than half in the last four years. Let's turn to page 11. You can appreciate the asset quality further improvements. You can see the strong decrease of the gross NPE stock at 7 billion euro. The gross ratio stands at 13.8, down by 6.1 percentage points from 19.9 of January 2018. The net NPE ratio now is 6.8%, falling from 9.2 in January. The focus here is to confirm the high-quality job we are doing in delivering our NPE strategy. In 2018, we finalized two bad loan securitization, Quattromobili Sardegna in June for a gross book value of 0.9 billion euro, and Acqui in November for a gross book value of 1.9 billion euro. We consider them to be successful deals, perfectly in line with our plans and our schedule. It is important to highlight that between 2016 and 2018, we were able to decrease the NPE ratio from 23.5 to 13.8, with a drop of almost 10 percentage points. From here, we are convinced that we are able to improve further NPE ratio. NPE coverage is still high at 54.5%. Moving on to page 12. After the big drop in the NPE flows and default rates between 2016 and 2017, we have another decline in 2018, with a default rate now at 1.9%, and we expect further improvement in the coming quarters. Bad loan recovery rate higher than 5%, demonstrating that our service platform, BPER Credit Management, is a very efficient machine, and it is doing an excellent job and playing an important role within our overall NPE strategy. Page 13. The securities portfolio increased in Q4 versus Q3 through further diversification in core Europe bonds. We continue the de-risking trend of the portfolio, reducing the weight of Italian exposures. The long-term trend of reducing the Italian government bonds ratio on total assets continues, and now Italian govies stand at 7.4%, down from 10% in 2014. the overall exposure to the domestic risk is almost halved versus 2014. Currently, only the 44.8% of the securities portfolio is invested in Italian issuers, both govies and other assets. Italian govies count for 30.5% of the securities portfolio. Now we can move on to profit and loss figures on page 15. As you know, 2018 figures are not fully comparable to 2017 ones because of a change in the scope of the consolidation due to the new Carife acquisition. On this side, the most important figure is the net profit in the year, which reached 402 million euro, the highest result in the history of the group. We can really be satisfied of this achievement. It is explained in particular by the very positive trend in net commissions, the net profit from financial activities, and the significant reduction of the cost of risk. Positive trend in the main P&L items allows to absorbing of a significant and non-recurring charge relating, among others, to bad loans for disposals and impairment on goodwill and tangible assets. Conversely, positive income taxes impact was recorded during the year, largely due to the effect of deferred tax asset recognition. Now let's go on to page 16, NII performance seems to stabilize or slight increase when considered net of the IFRS 9 reclassification effect. You have to bear in mind that NII trend in our case is strictly correlated to the strong de-risking activity on loans and the significant improvement of the performing book to our low risk rating bucket. Looking ahead, the NII position should benefit from expected increase of volumes as well as an improvement in spread helped by repricing actions in place and cost of funding containment. On page 17, we can show the very positive performance of net commission up by 4.8% year-on-year. Going into more details on commissions, we see that the growth is supported mainly by bancassurance, +47.1% year-on-year, and asset under management, +7.3% year-on-year, and recording also a positive increase of traditional fees, +2% year-on-year. In Q4 2018, we noticed relevant increase of net commission related to bancassurance segment. On page 18, trading income was highly supporting in the year, +104 million euro, including the realized gains on bonds in Q1 and a non-recurring charge related to the disposal of the mezzanine and junior tranches of the Acqui bad loan securitization of 56.7 million euro. We must also add 34.3 million euro of dividends, of which 15.7 non-recurring related to Nexi. Moving forward on page 19, the 2012 periods are not comparable due to the different perimeters. Q4 2018 operating costs increased mainly affected by net impairment adjustments to tangible assets, nearly 30 million euro, and other non-recurring administrative expenses related to a large number of special projects finalized in 2018, like securitization and operation of M&A. We perfectly know that cost reduction is one of the main priorities of the group going forward, and it will be one of the milestone of the new business plan, which will be presented to the market on the 28th of February. Cost of credit on page 20. Here, we continue to have a very important reduction. Loan loss provisions came at 225.8 million euro, more than half than 2017. Cost of credit is at 47 basis points versus 112 in 2017. This is the confirmation of the expected trend. The improvement of the cost of risk is one of the main contributors to profitability in 2018, currently with the asset quality improvement. I think taking a prudent approach to project the 2019 trend, I can confirm a guideline of around 50, 60 basis points for the current year. Page 22, liquidity. Our liquidity position is solid, thanks to the growth of the total eligible assets by 17.7% since the beginning of the year to 18.7 billion euro. Along with a bucket of unencumbered eligible assets of 5.7 billion euro and extra liquidity of 0.9 billion euro made by deposits with the ECB. Both LCR and NSFR ratios stand above 100%. With reference to the capital position, we show on page 23 a very solid capital position with a Common Equity Tier 1 ratio fully phased at 11.95%, broadly stable versus 12% as of 30 September. I think this is a remarkable result, in particular in light of the challenging economic and market environment. It is a demonstration of our ability in capital management and of the great attention we put on the solidity of the capital position. The main positive effects comes from retained earnings, which include the pro quota dividend and the decrease of the goodwill deductions from capital. On the negative side, we mention increase of deduction related to DTA, an impact of fair value, other comprehensive income reserve, and an increase of RWA, both credit and market. As you read on our press release this morning, we received notification from the European Central Bank of the new prudential requirements as the outcome of the 2018 SREP process. ECB has established that from the 1st March 2019, BPER will have to maintain a minimum consolidated Common Equity Tier 1 of 9% versus 8.125% in 2018. An increase of 87.5 basis points. This is mainly attributable for 62.5 basis points to the progressive application of the transitional arrangements to create the capital conservation buffer foreseen by the supervisory authority for the banking system, and only 25 basis points for the Pillar 2 requirement. Now, in conclusion, let me highlight the key final messages on page 25. First of all, in a very challenging economic and financial environment, we have been able to close the year with a strong Common Equity Tier 1 close to 12%, maintaining a very solid capital position. This is enforced by a very good liquidity situation and very low leverage. In a few words, we are very resilient and committed to maintaining a solid capital base. The second remark is that it must be recognized that we are delivering very well on asset quality. We were able to shrink the NPE ratio to 13.8% from a peak of 23.5% in mid-2016, almost a drop of 10 percentage points. While doing this, we have maintained a sound level of capital, as we said before. We plan to even further improve other asset quality going forward. All of these achievements come in combination with the highest level of profitability in our history. Linked to this, we are delivering a dividend of $0.13 per share, confirming the trend of constant growth of shareholder remuneration over time. Last but not least, let me remind you the next important appointment with the financial community. We announced the presentation of the new strategic plan 2019-2021 during the Investor Day scheduled on February 28th in Milan. I really hope that many of you will be interested to follow us in this very important moment. Thank you all for your time and attention, and now we are ready to start the second important session of this conference call about the extraordinary transaction. You should have the presentation of the two strategic transactions in your hands as they are available on our website. Let's start to go through the slide. On page 4 and 5, you have a snapshot about the goals of the two deals. Let me say that we are particularly proud to announce these transactions given the strong strategic rationale and value they deliver to our group. In fact, they will enable us to achieve at the same time a number of objectives. An increase of scale in terms of loans, total funding and distribution network, further simplification of the group structure, a relevant acceleration of the de-risking, a significant value creation through synergies, and all these maintaining a solid capital position. Looking at page 5, thanks to the acquisition of Banco di San Leonardo minorities, we will further rationalize our group structure and obtain a significant capital uplift that will further strengthen our already solid capital position. Precisely thanks to our strong capital position, it has been possible to contemplate the two transactions with Unipol Group. The first one is the cash acquisition of Unipol Banca, a bank that has been completely restructuring and today demonstrates solid financials and a strong asset quality. The second one is the disposal to Unipol Group of a bad loan portfolio for a gross book value of around 1 billion euro at a price broadly in line with our carrying value and therefore with no material impact on our capital. The transactions with Unipol Group will enable us to increase our scale, taking our total asset to over 80 billion euros, our total funding in the 150 million euros area, and adding more than 500,000 new clients. The second is accelerate our asset quality de-risking process, and third, create significant value thanks to the synergies which we describe in the next few slides, but also further cooperation initiatives with Unipol which are being further explored. Now let's focus on the details of the transaction and let's move to page 7. With regards to the acquisition of Banco di Sardegna minorities, BPER has agreed to acquire from Fondazione Sardegna all ordinary and preference shares that they own in Banco di Sardegna. As consideration for this acquisition, BPER will issue 33 million new ordinary shares through a capital increase without preemption rights entirely dedicated to Fondazione di Sardegna. A convertible additional Tier 1 instrument with a nominal value equal to 150 million euro entirely subscribed by Fondazione di Sardegna This is an instrument compliant with ECB regulatory standards, incorporating a temporary write-down should our Common Equity Tier 1 fall below 5.125% threshold, and a call option in the hands of Fondazione Sardegna to convert into new BPER shares. Slide 21 of the appendix contains the full details on the instruments, and our CFO is available to answer to any technical questions you may have during the Q&A session. Post-transaction, BPER will own 100% of Banco di Sardegna's ordinary shares and 98.6% of Banco di Sardegna's preference shares, implying a 93% share of Banco di Sardegna's total economic capital. At the same time, Fondazione di Sardegna will increase its stake in BPER by around 6.4 percentage points. The strategic rationale of this transaction is very clear. We benefit from a significant capital uplift of 50 basis points to our fully phased CET1 and 90 basis points of our fully phased Tier 1, with additional upside should the additional Tier 1 be converted. We simplify further our group structure and improve our efficiency with cost synergies mainly driven by a rationalization of the distribution network and of its controlled subsidiaries. Now let's move on page 9 to focus on the transactions with Unipol Group, which include the acquisition of Unipol Banca for a total cash consideration of 220 million, implying a multiple of around 0.4x its tangible equity as of 31 December 2018, a cash disposal to Unipol Group of a bad loan portfolio with a gross book value of around 1 billion, of which 32% is made of secured exposure and 68% unsecured. The agreed consideration is broadly in line with our carrying value, and therefore there will be no material impact on our P&L accounts and no burden to our shareholders. Moving to page 10, again, the strategic rationale of these two transactions is very strong. On one hand, BPER is acquiring a clean bank with no legacy issues. In fact, as you may know, since 2017, Unipol completed an important restructuring of Unipol Banca's balance sheet, which included a carve-out of around 3 billion of bad loans and a significant increase in provisioning levels. As a result, BPER will increase its scale and broaden its distribution footprint. The second point is BPER's assets will increase by broadly 17% in excess of 80 billion euros, and total funding, direct and indirect, will increase by around 70% to the 150 billion euros area. Moreover, we will gain access to over 500,000 new clients, and our branch network will be strengthened all over Italy. In addition, BPER gross NPE ratio will significantly improve from 13.8% at the end of 2018 to 11.6% pro forma, thanks to Unipol Banca's lower gross NPE ratio and the disposal of the 1 billion bad loan portfolio to Unipol Group. The transactions will generate significant value through both cost and funding synergies, which we estimated conservatively at around 85-95 million per year. The largest part of these synergies will be cost synergies of around 70% of the total amount, corresponding to around 20% of Unipol Banca cost base. We estimate that these synergies will be fully implemented by 2021, and we will book around 70 million of integration costs. The remaining 30% is mainly funding synergies, whereas at this stage, we do not factor into our estimates any meaningful net revenue synergies. We feel very comfortable that these synergies are both prudent and achievable, and we will update you regularly on the progress of our implementation plan. Please also note that these estimates do not include any capital synergies arising from a transition of Unipol Banca from standard to IRB method. Just to provide you some context, when we acquired C.R. Ferrara, the ECB allowed us to switch from standard to IRB and post-ECB green light, C.R. Ferrara's RWA declined by around 20%-25%. In addition, we are exploring with Unipol ways to enhance our partnership in the area of Assur banking, where we see potential for further revenue synergies. These are not included in our estimates at this stage. Page 11 is to provide you with some key financials of Unipol Banca versus BPER. Today, Unipol Banca has around 8 billion euros of gross customer loans, which corresponds to 14% of the combined entity. Unipol Banca's total funding, direct and indirect funding, is around 60 billion euro, of which around 40 billion euros of technical reserves from Unipol Group. Tangible equity is around 550 million euros at the end of 2018, and return on tangible equity was around 6%. Page 12 is to provide you with an overview of Unipol Banca's distribution and business model. Unipol Banca has quite a unique distribution model, which includes more than 250 branches well distributed across the Italian territory, with a 0.9% market share in Italy, an online platform branded My Unipol Banca, and a network of 254 promotori. Finally, Unipol Banca has access to 1,700 Unipol agencies out of a total of 2,900 agencies and 5,500 sub-agencies of Unipol Group. In terms of business model, Unipol Banca's strategic focus is on retail and SMEs clients, and the main products sold are mortgages, around 50% of total customer loans, and short-term loans, around 35% of total customer loans. Unipol Banca has also a fully owned subsidiary, Finitalia, a financial intermediary specialized in personal loans and financial insurance premiums of policies issued by Unipol Group. I think that the Unipol Banca strategic focus is absolutely in line with our expectation and has a great fit with our business and strategic focus. Page 13, I will skip since this has already been described previously in page 10. Let me just add that our estimated pre-tax cost synergies are around 20% of Unipol Banca's cost base. This is a conservative estimate if you look at what other Italian banks have announced in recent M&A transactions, 20%-30%. Most of the revenue synergies are funding synergies, where we have conservatively assumed only a partial realignment of Unipol Banca's funding mix and cost to BPER. On page 15, we show the impact of the bad loan portfolio disposal and the acquisition of Unipol Banca on BPER's asset quality metrics. Post-transaction, BPER's gross NPE ratio will go down by 2.2% from 13.8% to 11.6%, and therefore, we will de facto meet well ahead of schedule of 11.5% target that we have set in 2018-2020 NPE plan for end of 2020. If you look on the right-hand side of the page, you see how our group is getting closer in terms of gross NPE ratio to the best-in-class Italian banks. On the 28th of February, we will show you our strategy to get there with our new business plan. Page 16. Overall, following the transaction, we confirm our solid capital position with a Common Equity Tier 1 fully phased of 11.4% and a Tier 1 of 11.8%. These ratios don't include the effects of the potential conversion of the Additional Tier 1 and the potential transaction of Unipol Banca from standard to IRB models, which we are confident will be granted in due course. In addition, our capital will benefit from increased organic capital generation, thanks to the implementation of significant synergies. Page 17, we measure the value creation of the transactions, measured in terms of earnings per share accretion for BPER shareholders. If you look at 2021, the year in which synergies will be fully implemented, the combined earnings per share creation for BPER shareholders will be of around 33%, plus 15% if we exclude all the synergies. The high accretion will be mainly driven by the acquisition of Unipol Banca. The calculation excludes the potential conversion of the Additional Tier 1, but we can already anticipate that also taking into account the potential Additional Tier 1 conversion, the transaction will still be highly accretive. Page 19. Just to wrap up, today we are very proud to announce these two important transactions, which will enable us to enhance our scale, market share, and client base, create significant value thanks to the realization of significant synergies with very strong earnings per share creation under very conservative assumptions, significant improvement of the gross NPE ratio from 13.8% at the end of 2018 to 11.6% pro forma, broadly in line with the 11.5% target set for 2020. All of these by maintaining a solid capital position and with a number of potential levers to further boost our capital ratios. Naturally, these transactions are subject to a number of conditions, including regulatory approvals, our EGM, which will vote for BPER's share issuance to Fondazione Fintecna Sardegna with reference to the 33 million new shares and the new share implied in the potential conversion of the additional instrument. We do not expect any major hurdle to meet this condition, and our goal is to close all transactions by the third Q 2019. I would like to thank you all very much for listening, and I look forward to meeting all of you in Milan on the 28th of February, when we present our new three-year business plan. Let me thank also all the staff of BPER Group for this really important year. I would like also to thank my teams that supporting in these two important transactions, and I'm very proud to work with my staff. Thank you very much. And now let's move to the Q&A session, and thank you very much.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Christian Carrese with Intermonte. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Thank you for the very clear presentation. I have a few questions on the two deals, some technical questions, and then going to the numbers, looking at the EPS accretion that you are pointing out. The first one is on the saving shares. They've not been included in the deal, if you can elaborate on that. The second question is on what do you expect to be the capital in 2019-2020, because you are saying that you're going to book some restructuring cost, 70 million in 2019, and then the synergies to arrive in 2020-2021. So if you can give us an idea of the trajectory. On synergies, if you can elaborate a little bit on revenues, 20% of the cost base on cost and 7% on revenues seems a little bit higher than other past transaction. So if you can give some details on that. Then on the on restructuring cost, again, you are going to buy some additional 600, more than 600 million unlikely to pay from Unibail Banca. What kind of due diligence have you done on those loans? If you can give us some details on the secure, unsecured collateral, and so the vintage of this portfolio. And I suppose that the SREP decision does not include the transaction that announced today. So if you can tell us if ECB was aware of this transaction or not. Last question is on the NPL disposal, 1 billion NPL disposal. The negligible impact to P&L has been already embedded in fourth quarter results. And finally, I don't want you to anticipate the business plan target or your strategic issues. Just to, if you can tell us the already known deal that you're gonna do. In terms of capital, for example, the BRA model migration should give some boost to capital, if I remember properly, 20-25 basis points. And then if there is any other deal, ARCA, we read on the press, maybe with a negative impact on capital. So if you can give us an idea of the capital in 2019. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Christian. I don't know if I have enough time to answer to all these questions, but anyway, I try to do my best. Anyway, saving share are not including in the deal with Foundation Sardegna, only ordinary share and preference share. I would like to remember you that we have close to 50%, if I remember correctly, 48.8% of the saving share that are today in the market. So we'll see what will be the best approach managing also the saving shares. About the capital position, let's say that we have many elements, and let's say that in the last years, I think that we were able to manage correctly our capital position, and also with many challenges, thinking about, for example, the activity for the de-risking. My expectation is to have also in 2019, a capital CET1 ratio between 11.5-11.8. Probably this is our idea, and then a better position in the next 2020. But please take into consideration also the Tier 1, because I think there is a value in the structure of the deal with Fondazione Sardegna to have also an additional Tier 1 is probably in the capital structure of BPER is the first time that we have a significant amount of additional Tier 1, and I think with good condition for BPER. I try to take some other of your questions, then I ask to my colleagues to complete the answers about the SREP. I would to confirm that obviously these transactions are not included, but ECB was aware that what we were planning to do with Fondazione Sardegna and the Unipol Group. I confirm also that about the 1 billion disposal of bad loans with Unipol Group, that the coverage at the end of 2018 on this portfolio is in line with the price of this portfolio. Let's say that this portfolio is a little bit lower than the 1 billion of gross book value, is largely of unsecured loans, so close to 70%, and probably was a portfolio not with the characteristic for a securitization with GACS. So in our view, this was an opportunity. At the same time, we know that the Unipol Group is working with Unipol Rec to have probably a larger amount of bad loans to manage for extract synergy. I confirm that there are rooms for our capital position for the BRRA alignment. Probably they wait to complete in BPER the TRIM exercise, and so only after this probably they are ready to recognize the alignment in BRRA. Probably there is one question and on synergies, so I ask to Matteo Bigarelli to give some details on the synergies, and then we try to see if there are other elements to answer to you. So Matteo, please go ahead.
So thanks a lot. Talking about synergies, please bear in mind that our data we are estimating at the moment includes on the revenue side, mostly, as mentioned, cost funding synergies, and so we are pretty confident to be able to reach this target. And another question about our due diligence on Unipol Banca. We performed an ordinary due diligence process on different areas of the bank. And talking about UTP, we didn't find any extraordinary risk on this portfolio. And please bear in mind that this portfolio, as highlighted in page 16 of our presentation, is covered with 46%, so a high level of coverage. So we didn't include any further risk on this UTP portfolio.
What kind of vintage, if you can give us an idea, the average of the UTP?
So we can check and give you probably later the detail. Let's say also that one important point is the high level of coverage. The second point in our view is that in the last 3 years, we implement significant our ability in managing UTP. And if you look at, for example, the level of our UTP at the end of 2018 is around 5% of the total amount of loans, and so probably is in line with some best in class in Italy. I think it demonstrates our ability in this area. Some words about ARCA. We think that now the process is close to the end, so we expect in the coming days probably to have a communication. My expectation is that BPER together with Sondrio are going to buy the stake of 40% of ARCA. And when this will be clear, my intention is to have a conversation with the friends of Sondrio, in particular with Dr. Pedranzini, to have a meeting and to analyze the potential evolution of ARCA itself. So my idea is, as we try to manage together all the decision on ARCA in the last years, this was very important to give stability to this important asset manager, and we try to do the same also in the future. So this will be my intention in the coming days.
And your capital guidance, 11.5-11.8% for 2019, takes into account the possibility you're going to close with ARCA?
Yes, I confirm this, but anyway, today what I can say that the impact of ARCA is very, very low, and first of all. Second, we have to decide the future of ARCA, and we have many options, and so we'll see what would be the best for BPER and Sondrio. But let's say it's absolutely manageable. We are satisfied also for the result of 2018 of this company, because the performance also in 2018 are absolutely positive. And so for this reason, I consider a great opportunity for BPER and Sondrio to buy this stake. And I repeat, we must think together on the strategic option for ARCA.
Thank you very much. Very clear.
Thank you, Christian.
The next question is from Jean Noyes with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and congratulations on the transactions. I just wanted to ask a question on the outlook from here, just operationally speaking. When you use firstly, when you use the consensus numbers for 2021 in order to base the accretion, do you believe that this number is a good base to assess the profitability of BPER going forward? Obviously, because you base the strategic rationale of the transaction partly on that. And secondly, I just wanted to ask, there was, as part of the transaction, many mentions of the fact that the AT1, which you are issuing as part of the Banco di Sardegna transaction, has a conversion features, and it was repeated a number of times. Do you actually expect to convert this, or is this something which you would prefer to keep in your capital stack as an AT1 going forward? And if you did convert them, would you want to have another one issued after that, or would you just go with Core Tier 1 as opposed to having the AT1 replaced as well as being converted? Thank you very much.
Okay, about the first point, the effect on earnings per share. First of all, we believe that we were conservative in the estimate of synergies, so we try to put in our analysis only the area of synergies of cost and only partially on revenues where we were absolutely sure to extract in this deal. And so I think is the right base to analyze our business plan in at the end of February. So you can imagine that we try to put into our business plan also these two transactions and to extract value for our shareholder in 2019-2021, the period covered by the new business plan. About the additional programming, I asked you, Roberto Ferrari, to our CFO, to give you some elements to analyze this new component of our capital structure.
Hi, good morning. So the convertible additional tier one nominal value is 150 million, but the issue price is 120% of the principal amount, so it embeds the value of the conversion option. And it is important to say that the conversion option is in the note holder hands, and the strike price is 4.2. So clearly the conversion depends on the market evolution in the future, and the maturity of the convert, you know, the conversion option is 8 years. So it has a long maturity. Clearly, it is important to say that we consider that the 81 with a good coupon is an efficient bond in our capital structure. So in the future, we don't know, but if we have a conversion, we could consider a new issuance.
And I just wanted to ask, the coupon will be recorded straight through equity or in the P&L?
The coupon will be recorded straight to equity. Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
In the common equity. Thank you.
The next question is from Domenico Santoro with HSBC. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Hi. Good morning. Thanks for the presentation and all the details. I have four questions. Again, on the synergies from Unipol Banca, can you give us more idea on the cost side where this synergy will come from? Headcount reduction, branches closures, any details will be helpful. On the revenues as well, given that we don't have a lot of visibility on the funding mix of Unipol Banca, and funding synergies are not pretty obvious in this market. Just wondering whether you can give us more details, any switch into the funding mix of the bank. Then on Banco di Sardegna, I know that you are going to give us more details in the plan. Wondering how much is the cost synergies that you consider in your target in terms of EPS accretion as a percentage of the cost base of Banco di Sardegna. And then on the addendum of the ECB and the extension to the stock, you sound pretty confident in the press release that the ECB is going to consider, you know, the level of collateralization, other remedial actions. So there is not going to be any impact, as you mentioned in your press release, on capital and provisions. But now you are embarking more UTPs with a lower coverage compared to the target that the ECB is asking. So given that for us, mathematically from the external, it's pretty difficult to understand why there is no impact. Can you give us more details about this? Shall we consider restructuring loans in the calculation? Shall we consider write-off? Or can you give us more visibility on the vintage, please? Thank you.
Okay, so so first point is about Unipol Banca and the synergy on the cost side and also on the funding mix. So Alessandro Simonazzi on the cost side and probably Roberto on the funding mix. Alessandro.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. From the cost side, what I can say is that we have four main drivers. The first is obviously branches simplification. Some of the branches are overlapped with our branches. Some other could be rationalized. and streamlined when mixed with our net. The second driver is the headquarter from two main drivers. One is people are quite quite overlapped with our functions, so we can integrate the headquarters of Unipol Banca with our headquarters, and we can replace people leaving the BPER group with the potential redundancy plan that we will deliver in our new business plan. We can replace with people coming from Unipol Banca. The other driver is the rentals and the costs of real estate that via branches of simplification, via headquarters simplification, we could save important amounts of money from rentals of real estate. And the other driver is cost efficiency on the structure. These are the main drivers from the cost side.
From cost of funding, very synthetically, the cost of funding of Unipol Banca is double of BPER's, is above 60 basis point average, and it is also linked to the fact that they have issued senior bonds at a very high level of spread and rates. So we consider, and those bonds are maturing in the next 2 years. Actually, 80% of those are maturing in 2019 and 2020. So considering the substitution of the bonds and considering the high cost also of the side deposit, we have the possibility to reduce substantially the cost of funding. Unipol Banca has also more than 2 billion deposit in ECB at minus 40 basis point, and the cost of the deposit is actually more than 1-2 basis point. So also from the redepositing the ECB, we have the possibility to extract cost synergies.
So speaking about Banco di Sardegna, I would like to express that we look at Banco di Sardegna and we extract synergy, but you know, this is also a bank included, already included in our group, and there are many actions also in the new business plan that we are going to present at the end of February. So let's say mainly the synergies utilized for the earnings per share are from Unipol Banca. There are other synergies, but together with the action on the business plan that we are going to present by the end of the year. About the addendum and the expectation of ECB, let's say our strong focus was first of all on the 3 years covered by the new business plan. I can confirm that the expectation is to have not significant impact and absolutely manageable in terms of capital position. You said obviously there is something different. Now we have more UTP coming from Unipol Banca, but first of all, I think it's important to underline that there is a very high coverage. If I remember correctly, it's around 46%. We analyze this portfolio, so I think that it is manageable also thanks a different approach by BPER in managing the UTP portfolio, and you can consider the important result in the last year in this area. So let's say probably I want to be more clear by the end of the year during the presentation of business plan, because we are working on this, but I repeat, I can confirm that if you think that our stock today of non-performing is 7 billion euro, and I'm sure that we are going to manage correctly all the 600 million euro of UTP. The last point is, in my view, extremely important, that for the first time we are also planning some disposal of UTP. So probably in this year will be the first time on this project, and so I think that it's possible to include also this UTP in this project. We'll see, because it's too early to say, but the idea that we have after the due diligence on the portfolio, that this is could be possible for the future approach of UTP. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks.
The next question is from Giovanni Razzoli with Equita SIM. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning to everybody. A couple of questions. The first one, I was wondering if you can share with us whether, as a part of the deal with Unipol Banca, there is anything involving the DTA of Unipol Banca, and if so, how, and if this changes the overall phasing of your standalone exposure to this asset class. The second question, again on the deal with Unipol Banca, you clearly mentioned that the deal is EPS accretive, but this is only part of the value creation, as value creation is also related to the change in the risk profile of a deal. And my perception is that the execution risk of the integration with Unipol Banca is extremely low, because clearly you have Unipol as a shareholder of you guys. So my understanding is that also looking at the phasing of the synergies, the execution risk is going to be extremely low, while it is going to be zero for the buyback of the minorities of Banco di Sardegna. So I was wondering whether my understanding is correct, or if you do see any areas, I don't know, in terms of headcount reduction or so, that may, you know, contradict my understanding. Then the last question on Unipol Banca. Everyone is focusing correctly on the synergies, but no one has asked about the standalone profitability of the bank. As a, you know, back of the envelope calculations, I've here made a simulation that Unipol Banca as a standalone entity are guiding us to something like 15 million euros of the standalone profits based on the contribution of your pre-synergies EPS accretion. I was wondering whether this calculation is correct, and if it is, I was wondering what was the if there were any extraordinary items in the 2018 bottom line that you are showing us at 33 million euros for Unipol Banca in the page number 18 of the presentation. And last question, if you can share with us, there were a lot of questions on the UTP. Can you share with us what is the breakdown between secured and unsecured UTP that you are buying as a part of the deal from Unipol Banca? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for your question. The first one was on DTA. Our analysis is that DTA of Unipol Banca are immaterial, so nothing included in our analysis and evaluation. About the execution of the integration of Unipol Banca in BPER, I agree with you on the low risk of execution. There are many reasons for this. Obviously, there are many elements to manage in this integration. But let's say there is also an element that to integrate, for example, looking at the staff, if you think that Unipol is based in Bologna, BPER is based in Modena, so this is a great support for the integration of staff and also to extract synergies in this area. Working on the branches, let's say this is a sort of trademark of BPER, because we managed so many acquisitions emerging in the last 10 years, and we have staff in the business area of BPER that has a specific approach for the integration of network of branches. So for this point of view, I think that is absolutely manageable. And also we think that probably the branches, looking at the branches of Unipol, are spread in Italy, but if you look deeper with Unipol, I think that there are many opportunities of good integration of Unipol branches in the network of deeper. Nothing, as you said before, about Banco di Sardegna. Looking at UnipolBank, in the last 2 or 3 years, I received many questions about our interest on UnipolBank. As I said in many meetings, my first element was, without a complete activity of de-risking of UnipolBank, it was impossible for BPER, also because we work also on the de-risking, to analyze the UnipolBank. They completed strong action in 2018. This morning, there was the first highlight of the balance sheet in 2018. We saw that they have in 2018 a net profit of close to 33 million, so with a equity of 550-548. We understand that the trend now is correct, and also the cost of risk is under control, thanks to the strong cleanup completed in 2018. I think that today is a network that could add value to the network of BPER, and we hope also to have other upside looking at the relationship with Unipol and also the business in Assurbank, Banca Assurance. If you remember during this, on the commission coming from this area, we have an incredible increase, close to 50%, from 40 million-60 million euro, and think that this is a confirmation that we are in the right direction. About UTP, probably I can give you later some details of the characteristic of the deal. What I remember, there is a large portion of UTP with a collateral, real estate collateral, and so for this reason, as I said before, could be an opportunity to include this portfolio, portion of this portfolio, in our project of UTP disposal 2019. We'll see, and if I can, I give you more details later. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Hugo Cruz with KBW. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you. I have quite a few questions. First, I'm not sure I understood correctly. I think you gave some CET1 guidance for the full year 2019, if you could remind me of that. Second, the ratio given for Q4, it seems to be, I'm not sure, pro forma for some DTA absorption. I would like to know if you've changed the treatment there in any way, or are the DTAs fully deducted? Third, on the Sardegna, two questions. One, do you see any reason for the foundation to convert the AT1s below the strike price? Two, again, if you could clarify how much cost-cutting in your EPS accretion guidance you are assuming from the Sardegna business. On the Unipol side, I think you've said that the cost-cutting assumptions are probably low. I would agree, 20% in the past has been kind of the bare minimum. However, if you cut more, do you think you'd have to have a higher amount of restructuring charges? Because again, it's around 100% of the cost-cutting run rate, so again, it's not very high amount of restructuring charges, so just like to know if that could go up. On the revenue side, I take your comments on the funding, but when I looked at the UnipolBank, this is a very high-level glance, but they seem to have a NIM that's not very different from yours. If the funding costs are a lot higher, arguably their loan rates are a lot higher as well. I wonder if you could comment on that. Thank you. Sorry, one more question. Can you clarify, you gave guidance on BRA before, on the IRB migration. Can you give us the latest there? Also on TRIM, an IFRS 16, if you have any guidance. Thank you. And sorry, and just one more. On the Unipol Bank acquisition, on the CET1 impact, you're talking about full badwill absorption or recognition. Is this something that you have the green light from the ECB, or is there still a risk that you might still not get this? That's all. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, so I tried to answer the question about CET1 and also Sardinia and badwill. Probably there are my colleagues for your other important question. Yes, I do confirm for the this year that we think at the end of 2019 our expectation is to respect the level of 11.5 of Common Equity 1. I think that we have many areas where we can extract capital. Let me mention one area. In the last part of 2018, we have an important portion of large corporate loans with very low spread. Now, if we have Unipol Bank with loans with different characteristics, mainly retail and SMEs, probably this area of large corporate is not in line with our strategy, so we can save RWA in a very significant way. Let's say also that we have other part, there is the alignment of CRBRA with 15-20 basis points of benefit in terms of Common Equity 1, and so you are working also on the securities portfolio. Also here we have some potential benefits. So let's say, as I think we confirmed in the last 2 years, we are able to manage the capital position. About the badwill, first of all, we estimate the badwill around 300 million and probably more of badwill this year. This is an important amount, and I confirm that typically there is an important focus by the ECB. But let's say that we have experienced last year the approach of ECB because we have the acquisition of Casa di Risparmio di Ferrara, and in this acquisition we had a badwill of 190 million euro. So this was, in our view, an important element to complete, for example, some important provisioning. It was absolutely in line with our strategy to complete the action of the risking that is in place also now. So it's important, and it's difficult to say anything before the PPA, and so this is the first step in this process, but we have no worry about this important point. About Sardinia, so we estimated that after the acquisition of the minorities, Foundation Sardinia will be around 10% as a stake in our capital position. So this is more or less our expectation, so 10%. Then there is plus 5%, including in the convertible additional tier one. Let's say, I don't know what will be the approach by Foundation Sardinia, but, you know, this is a foundation, so I think that the decision of the foundation is driven by a correct approach in terms of economic and financial framework. So I think that is important that the value of BPER share will be above the strike price. As we said before, the strike price is 4.2 euro. I don't know, Roberto, our CFO, for other elements that you asked before.
Okay. Hugo. When we present the business plan, the 28th, we will present the evolution of risk-weighted assets and CET1 up to 2021. And those evolution will embed the impact of TRIM, EBA guidelines, new definition of default, rollouts, and PMI supporting factors. And you will see that the impact, we already have the number, but clearly we will disclose at the end of February. You will see that the impact is absolutely manageable. I repeat it, absolutely manageable.
About the IFRS 16, we expect to have 200 million euro of more assets. And so, and there are probably a migration from administrative cost to depreciation around 40 million, but is only migration from one area and the other of P&L. And so this is, I hope to have, to give you all the answer to your questions.
So, sorry, I didn't understand your last point, the 40 million migration. What was that about?
It's about 4 million migration is an accounting change from administrative expenses related to rent leasing to amortizing and to depreciation, and it's a different accountability approach.
There was a question, Hugo, from the accretion of Sardinia, accretion dilution. Actually, accretion should be around 2% in 2021, and we will come back to you with the average rate of Unipol Banca lending.
Okay. And just one more, then, if you end up finding a higher amount of cost savings with Unipol, would you expect a higher restructuring charge as well?
Restructuring.
Well, frankly speaking, at this stage, our analysis estimate, if I remember correctly, 70 million euro, and probably we are absolutely prudent in this estimate. So, let's say we think that is manageable, and the focus is on branches, is on staff, is on IT, for example, because they today pay for the IT services to a company. The name is Cedacri, and so we have a benefit coming from this. And so we think that is without any significant further impact on our cost. So obviously we try to have more synergies when we can be inside the company, but anyway, we estimate 85, 90 million euro of synergies per year. This is a good starting point.
If I can add a word, the synergies that we have estimated on Unipol Banca compared with the restructuring costs explain that in less than 3 years we could recover the restructuring costs via synergies. And it's quite good ratio because in M&A usually this is from 3 to 5 years. The ratio between synergies and restructuring costs is more than 3 years. In this case, it would be lower than 3 years.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
The next question is from Andrea Vercellone with Exane. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning. First of all, thanks for announcing all of this at the same time. It makes life easier than getting it bit by bit. Four questions left. On the transactions, I'd just like to know when you expect to close each of them. Of course, it's subject to authorizations, but what is your best guidance? The second question is on NPL sales. You were quoted in the press saying you were planning to dispose of 1 billion of NPEs or NPLs. Were you referring to this portfolio which you have now sold to Unipol, or it's additive? The third question is on deferred tax asset recognition. Obviously, you'll have the new business plan soon, so you'll be able to perform a different probability test. At the same time, you have restructuring charges falling in 2019 related to Unipol Banca and whatever else you'll do at BPER group level. In terms of qualitative guidance, would you be looking to bring back on balance sheet DTAs for losses carry forward mostly in 2019, given you have basically none on balance sheet at the moment, or is it a bit more spread throughout the next few years? And then the last question is on PPA, on Unipol Banca. Your capital position, in my opinion, is good relative to where you need to be. Is it reasonable to assume that you could make particularly conservative assumptions in assessing the NPEs that you bought in order to write them down a bit and consequently increase the coverage, or that's not a fair possibility? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for your questions. About the first question, it was about the timing of the two operations. Our expectation, I start from the end. Our expectation is to complete all in this year, and also to complete the merger of Unipol Banca in BPER by the end of 2019. For complete this, is important to have all the authorization and work on also the EGM, I hope, in the first half 2019. So this is, let's say, the first important element is the EGM, and after that we can complete the other step of the deal. So first half 2019, EGM, second half, probably the completion also of the merger in the parent company. So our strong objective is to complete it by the end of the year, and I think that it will be possible. More or less, we had the same way in Cari Ferrara last year. So we were able to complete the acquisition by the end of June, and we complete the merger in November 18. So we think that it's possible to have the same timeline. The other point was about, I think, DTA. Okay. So Roberto, please go ahead, try to give you the answer.
Okay, in 2018 we already booked DTA linked to past losses that we assumed to recover in the forward 5 years. Losses were around 130 million and DTA were around 40 million. And as you know, as you said, every year we will re-perform the probability test. So now when we will present the business plan, we will re-perform the probability test, and every year we will have the impact of the DTA for 1 year forward.
About the NPL disposal, so first of all, let's say that we are satisfied because we present a deal is a good combination of growth and risking. And this was what we had in mind at the beginning of the discussion, and we are satisfied of this because to go around the 11.5 or the NPE gross ratio is another step in the right process of the risking. Let's say that we can do more, and so we think that this 1 billion could be additive with other disposal, but let's say we are working on an update of our NP plan. We want to complete the process by the end of March, but anyway, I think that, you know, our idea is to go below 10 as fast as possible, and this is an important step in this important target. There is some other element. I don't know if my colleagues. So I think that about the PPA is also the result of our experience in Cari Ferrara. Probably we need more time. I hope to have something to say by the end of February, if it's possible. But I repeat, it's so difficult to say before the acquisition. To say where is possible to complete the PPA. But let's say that the experience with the Cara Ferrara with €190 million of badwill, I consider positive and in line also with the expectation of the ECB. I think that it's possible to do the same in this deal today.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star followed by one. Mr. Vandelli, gentlemen, there are no more questions registered. I'm sorry, there is a follow-up question from Hugo Cruz with KBW. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking this question. I mean, on tax, so, I mean, you know, it's been very hard to model your tax. Obviously, there's still a lot of uncertainty with DTAs and so on, but can you give a guidance for your tax rate for 2019? Thank you.
In 2019, this is Roberto Ferrari, Hugo. Actually, we will have a tax rate that is in the region of 10%, probably lower. And we expect around 15% in 2020, and then to convert to a normal recurrent tier of rate of tax rate in 2021.
Perfect. Thank you very much. That's very helpful.
Okay. Probably we had an answer to give to you about the yield on the lending, commercial lending of Unipol Banca. The net margin should be around 2.3. So, considering the cost of funding, the average lending rate should be close to 3%.
So is that because they have a different funding mix, more geared to consumer and small SMEs? That's why they would have a higher loan rate than you?
Yeah, we consider so actually. But if we want to go deeper in that, we can work out.
No. Okay. The funding mix of Unipol Banca is more balanced on medium-term and short-term funding, so more expensive. While from the customer side of the loan book, there are a lot of retail, and so mortgages and consumer.
Yeah, on the funding side, you have to consider that we issue covered bonds that are much cheaper in terms of spreads. And they issue only senior bonds. So I would say this is an industrial synergy that we have compared to Unipol Banca, and the cost of senior bonds is actually much higher than covered bonds.
Okay, great. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, so no final remarks, and thank you very much for your attention, and I hope to see you at the end of February for our Investor Day. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.